Welcome back to the Deep Dig of Sports Pod. I'm your host, Drew. My other host right over there.
What's up? It's D. Good to see you again. We are coming off of Championship Sunday, just an awesome day of football. Before we dig into a recap of both of those matchups, be sure to hit that like button. Be sure to subscribe and drop some comments below. Let us know your thoughts.
It was a crazy game. It was crazy. The 49ers game was wild. I couldn't believe it sitting here on the watching it, what was going on. No, never a doubt in my mind that we were to come back and win that game. I know some people were giving up saying, oh, we lost this game, but I never lost hope. Not even when it looked like we were probably going to lose that game.
Honestly, I didn't really lose hope either, if I'm going to be completely honest. What I did was, I think, you know, not to say like I'm a hero or anything, but I did do a mid-game jersey swap. I went and I swapped out my white Nick Bosa. I was like, this ain't working. I went and got my red Alden Smith, put it on. And I don't want to say that's what won the game for the 49ers, but I will take full credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, Bosa catching a stray right here on the pod, but he looked
no, good. I mean, sometimes it's just not working. You got to switch it up. It's like a relief pitcher. You get in, you get some different energy going, and that's like what the 49ers needed. Like, the first half was a complete shit show. Like, let's just kind of dig in just the first. Let's take it in two sections, this first half and the second half, right? The first half. Go ahead and give your thoughts.
The first half, I mean, the Lions are running all over the 49ers, which I was kind of worried about coming into this game. Our run defense, the 49ers run defense tend to, you know, bend but not break. But they got two good backs there in Detroit. I mean, both 1,000-yard rushers. I think they both had 10 touchdowns this year. Montgomery was looking nice. I don't know why they kind of moved off of him a little bit and then started to try to get Gibbs going. But once they tried to go back to him at the end, it was kind of too late. Jameson Williams, he looked really good. He looked really good in this game. Obviously, the long run. But receiving-wise, I thought he was their second-best receiver out there. I don't know why they were throwing to what's the other guy that dropped
Reynolds.
A couple passes? Yeah, Reynolds. I mean, Jameson Williams put him in that spot. Laporta did his thing. So everything on offense was just firing on all cylinders for this Detroit Lions team. And then the defense was holding up. But like we said before this game, that defense is streaky. And they were hot in the beginning and died off at the end.
Yeah, man. And I think the tail of the first half was third and long conversions. The 49ers just could not get off the field. And it takes me back to listening to an interview with Will Compton when they asked Will Compton, like, hey, how many plays does it take to get like just dead ass tired? And he was like, realistically, if you convert a third and long, that's so demoralizing. And you've given your all if you're a pass rusher trying to get to the quarterback because you know it's third and long. You're going to pin, like how everyone says, pin your ears back and go. Imagine how much energy you exert in that. And the Detroit Lions just kept getting third and longs when it mattered in that first half. And the 49ers just had no answer. It was pretty crazy. And I know that at the halftime, when they asked Shanahan what's going on here, he was like, well, we're giving too much space in our zones. We're giving them way too much cushion, and we're just allowing them to make plays. And you've seen it. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown just had his way in that first half. He was catching it way before the first down marker and then bullying his way to a first down. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then too, from the 49ers side, McCaffrey was not able to get going. They did a good job of containing him. Not a lot going to Brandon Ayuk. I know Debo had some good runs. I mean, Kittle, no catches in the first half. So it really was like, what did the 49ers even do in that first half? Not a lot.
Yeah, and it felt just uncomfortable for the offense. They were playing from behind. It felt like, all right, we're not really too sure about this defense. We got to give it a feel. But once they caught up, they caught up in that second half. But this
and
first half,
in
it
that
really
first
felt
half
like
too, Moody missing that kick really shifted the vibes.
That's a 10-point swing right there. You go from take three, take it off the board, and then the Detroit Lions score 7 points on the next drive. So it was a kick in the dick.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been saying it for a while now. Moody worries us. Moody, when's it going to come back to bite you in the playoffs, especially when every kick matters? It didn't this game. It didn't the last game. But, I mean, he's consistently missing kicks.
It's pretty bad, dude. It's a problem. I hope that this was the biggest problem moving forward. But I have just a nagging feeling that we're going to need Jake Moody to show up big time in this Super Bowl.
He made some kicks though. I mean, kind of redeemed himself, but yeah, it worries me. As far as going into the second half, I mean, it seemed like everyone wanted the Detroit Lions to win this game. But once Brock Purdy got out there in that second half, everything changed.
Oh my God. It was awesome. I was reading you the stats before. Let me see if I can find them again.
You see Chauncey, Garner Johnson waving goodbye to the 49ers in the first half?
Yeah, what a dumbass. So Brock Purdy, second half, he went 13 for 16, 174 yards, one touchdown, a passer rating of 132, and he scrambled three times for 52 yards in the second half. Fucking yeah. Amazing. And Brock Purdy looked cool, calm, composed, like he'd been there before. He was everything you want in a franchise quarterback. And realistically, that should shut up all the haters. I know it's not. I mean, even afterwards, people were like, overrated. Fuck you. There's no, like, going from Mr. Irrelevant to taking them to back-to-back NFC championships, coming back down 17 points at the half, and winning this game. And it's not like he was getting carried. He did everything he could to will this team to win. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, I don't understand how you could say he's overrated. In year two, he's went to an NFC championship game. He's going to a Super Bowl. And he has a good chance of winning it. I'd take that. If my quarterback's overrated and we're going to the championship game every year, I'm fine with that. I'm completely happy. I know the Niners are cool with it.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's just this is the overhated Super Bowl. I know nobody wants this Super Bowl matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the Chiefs, but they're in this for a reason, and Brock Purdy is a pivotal reason for the 49ers winning this game. And so they come out, they drive it down the field, they get stopped, they kick the field goal, and then – the Detroit, and we've seen this multiple weeks in a row, where the Detroit Lions just stall out on offense. And we said it before, this is going to happen. It happens week in and week out for the Detroit Lions. Like, they just have a period of football in the middle of games where offensively they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, both sides of the ball for them, they are really good. And then they stall out at some point. And that's when you really got to, you know, get your money's worth. You got to strike. And the 49ers did that. I mean, got a little worried when they only got a field goal on that first drive. And you're thinking, Lions are going to go down and score this ball right now. And they're just going to put it away. But it didn't happen. And was that the drive? Or going into kind of Dan Campbell's decisions a little bit, because that's what we have to talk about for the second half. Going into half, they're being aggressive. They get the field goal, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of thinking, oh, they're going to go for it. I was kind of hoping they would go for it on fourth down on that goal line and not get it.
Yeah.
Kind of keep it a two-score game. But then after that, I believe, was it after that field goal from the Niners that they went for it on fourth down and they didn't get it?
I believe so.
Yeah, so then they missed an opportunity there to, like, go up three scores, Dan Campbell. Like, I know this is what you do. You're aggressive, but this is a playoffs where you have to put points on the board. You can't leave points on the field. And I'd understand if you were like, okay, we're up three touchdowns. I'm going to go for it. I'm going for that put away fourth touchdown and we're good. But you're up two scores. You can go up three scores, three possessions they need to get to catch you guys. And I just think it was a complete wrong decision in that moment. What did you think?
Yeah, exactly. I hate when teams don't go for it and they make a two-score game. But that was not the case here. Why not go up three scores? That's plenty. You get a little bit of buffer and you understand, like, hey, I'm killing the momentum of this 49ers team. I just matched them point for point on this drive. Why not just do that? Like, you know what I mean? In my head, it doesn't compute. But, I mean, Dan Campbell, they said it on the broadcast multiple times. He's went for it the most times this year out of anybody in the league. This is just what they believe in as a philosophy. But you're right. You do have to have that situational awareness and to know where you are, what game it is. And there's no turning back. There's no like, hey, better off next week. He told his players afterwards, we are not going to have it this easy moving forward. We're always going to have a target on our back. We are going to be the hunted. And so, I mean, they're not like, I just don't know. I know they're going to be a fun team to watch moving forward, but I mean, it sucks that they didn't get that. Like, he just didn't make the right choices down the stretch in this particular game.
Yeah. And listen, he converts some of those fourth downs to score a touchdown. He looks like a genius, but I mean, you have to take everything into account. This is a good 49ers defense. You had lost all momentum. I mean, you just hit a couple field goals and you keep building this lead, or you keep staying one step ahead of the 49ers. And I just didn't agree with both decisions to go on fourth down. And then even at the end of the game, third and goal, they're on the two. Even Greg Olsen saying, if you run the ball here, you have to, and you don't get it, you have to burn a timeout. Then we're playing for an onside kick. And what does Dan Campbell do?
He runs the fucking ball.
Runs the ball and doesn't get it. And it, I just felt like it was a little bit ego from Dan Campbell in this game of like the first fourth down they went for and didn't get it. I felt like it was Dan Campbell saying like, oh, we're about to run it up on these guys. Like, we're about to win this game.
Yeah.
Second time around, I don't know what you're thinking there. Like, he's just like sticking to it shouldn't be, this is how we play and this is how, like, we're not veering from this. This is who we are. It should be, we are going to win by any means necessary. And that's what Kyle Shanahan does, and that's why he won this game. Because he adapted at halftime to what would work against this Lions team. If he just stuck with what he was doing, then we would have lost. And I think that's the signs of a mature coach.
Kyle Shanahan coached his ass off that second half. The team looked awesome. Brandon Ayuk with that Madden-like catch, dude. That was crazy. I know people are like, oh, what, that's all luck and blah, blah, blah. Well, sometimes you have to put yourself in situations to be lucky and to capitalize on it. And Brandon Ayuk had the hand-eye coordination to track the ball coming off of that dude's face. And besides that, it would have been pass interference anyways. So what a highlight reel catch. I know Brandon Ayuk this morning was actually pissed that he was only number two on ESPN's top 10 highlights. So he was pretty upset about that. Yeah. I don't know what the number one was.
No, we're going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, the amazing catch. I think that's going to go down in 49ers history. It's a memorable playoff moment. I mean, they were saying, is this there the catch game? Were they going to win the Super Bowl after? I mean, Ayuk, with just that catch and just the way, and the way he even played this game. I mean, he got the touchdown after that too, running an amazing route. He's going to get paid. He needs to get paid this offseason.
Oh yeah. You have to pay him, especially he is the number one option for Brock Purdy. He's a guy that they obviously have a special relationship, a special connection. You have to keep that. You keep those guys for your young quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's looking good for the 49ers right now. Everything's rolling. The offense is healthy. The defense is healthy for the most part. I'm liking our chances going into this Chiefs game. And we'll kind of break that down next week as we go into the game.
I mean, just touch and base, like final thoughts on this game as a whole.
Legendary. I'm going to remember it forever because that comeback was crazy. Like, I just sat there in shock. Like, I watched the award ceremony. And I don't even remember what anyone said. I was just in the moment so hard, like reliving what just happened. And then I watched the highlights over again. And man, what a roller coaster.
Exactly, man. And I think like for me, final thoughts on this game is it really feels like, I mean, this whole year it felt like this was a very special team. And Kyle Shanahan was talking about the win against the Packers, saying this was something that we had never done before. So it was nice to get that one under our belt. Then you turn around and you have to do it three times that. What an awesome way to do it. It should silence all the haters and show you that this 49ers team is for real. This is special. And they have a real chance here to finally get that sixth ring. I'm pumped.
I'm ready. So on the other side of things, the Ravens lost to the Chiefs. Close on the scoreboard, but it didn't feel so close on the field because every time the Ravens tried to get something going, something went wrong. What stood out to you most in this Ravens game, this Ravens-Chiefs game?
I think what stood out to me the most was the fact that it just felt like everything was hard for Lamar Jackson and this Baltimore Ravens offense. It didn't feel like they really caught a rhythm. It didn't feel like they understood what the Kansas City Chiefs were and Spagnuolo were going to throw at them. And so they felt on their toes a whole lot, and it just didn't feel like they had any cohesion moving forward throughout that game. And on the other side, the Kansas City Chiefs, it really felt like they were just like, all right, well, we're going to play and we're going to Bruce Lee be like water, and we're going to see where this kind of takes us, and we'll move from there. Travis Kelce passes Jerry Rice as far as catches in the playoffs. I mean, he's putting his exclamation mark on his career as a whole. I think if they win the Super Bowl, he might retire on the spot. I'm not sure. I don't have any, on that, but I think it just goes to show you experience matters. And when it comes down to it, Lamar Jackson and this Baltimore Ravens team have only won against, I think, who were they saying was the quarterback? Ryan Tannehill and CJ Stroud in their playoff career. And Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce just continued to prove it year in and year out. And this is probably the worst Chiefs team that Patrick Mahomes has had. And he's still able to get it done. And so experience matters, coaching matters, and the quarterback matters. And they outplayed him.
Yeah, to me, it felt like the Chiefs were going in. Like, as this game was going, the Chiefs were like, all right, we're just going to keep doing what we do. We're going to keep on taking what they give us. And then, again, second half adjustments, the Chiefs made them. And the Ravens, it felt like the whole game were like, when's our knockout shot coming? When are we going to get that giant play? And I just didn't like the game plan from the coaching staff. I didn't like how Lamar was playing, like very hero ball. I mean, to start that first drive, first couple drives, it was like fireworks, like Lamar's running, doing everything. I thought it was going to be for a second, like a 40 to 50 shootout, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar throws a ball to himself for 13 yards. But after that, the Chiefs settled in and they stuck to their game plan. They're blitzing, they're playing man. They're looking really good. And then the Ravens just stuck to their game plan of, hey, Lamar's a thrower. He's going to throw the ball downfield. And I mean, I think at a certain point, you can only throw so many go balls that don't connect, where you look at yourself and like, all right, maybe we don't have it in us today to go deep. Because even if you hit one of those, you were down two scores. And to think, if you guys play just like Dan Campbell, if you guys played conservative and did a couple checkdowns, did some slants and kicked field goals, probably would have won that game. Because they're blitzing you. You have the slant. They're throwing no slants. They're throwing no screens. Lamar handed it off seven times only in that game, where this Chiefs run defense isn't that great. So I think it was a little bit of, hey, we're better than you, and we're going to prove it to you by doing it this way. And like I said before, it shouldn't be this is how we play, so this is how we're going to win. It should be win by any means necessary, even if you have to shift your play style. And the two coaches that did that this week, Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan, those are the ones that won.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point, is like, where were the running backs? Like, why not establish the run game? That was something that would help out Lamar in the passing game. Then you could go off the play action. Then you can do the crossing. And another thing is, like, they also didn't utilize OBJ in a way that I felt was going to exploit this defense. And I know the talk was, hey, OBJ has a real chance to go off this game. But it felt like they just never really had a game plan for him. And where I felt like they would have succeeded more is if they would have used him like the Rams used him in the Super Bowl. Crossing routes, give him space, let him run, let him be athletic. And they just didn't let him do that whatsoever. But even then, like, again, that's all things that can be set up by the run game, by establishing the run. And I just don't know why they chose to, hey, we're just going to bomb it. We're just going to sit back shotgun and we're just going to bomb it. It didn't make any sense to me. That's not like, that's not this iteration of the Kansas City Chiefs where you can just go deep on them. I mean, sure, you're going to have chances. We seen it last week where Stephon Diggs drops balls. We seen it this week where it just kind of didn't really happen. Like there was openings, but not really. But where you can get it is in zone, like in the soft zone. Like there's under routes that are there and available to you. Why not take the under? And so it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I feel like the Bills and the Ravens are playing the ghost of the Kansas City Chiefs. Like they're playing the Chiefs that beat them in previous years, because before it was like it's a race to 40 yards or to 40 points. We have to score as many points as possible as quickly as possible. And with this current Chiefs team, it's really just play defense and put up 20 points and you could win this game, because their offense isn't that explosive anymore. So, and the Chiefs know that. They've shifted their game plan to run the ball and play defense. But the other teams going against them, for some reason, are feeling like we have to push the ball downfield. We have to put up a lot of points. I mean, 18 would have got you the win. That just tells you right there that this isn't the same Chiefs team that was putting up major numbers. And if you shift your game plan to be a little bit more consistent with your throws and put up some field goals and, you know, run the ball, I think at the end of the day, you'd have a better chance than throwing deep. And as far as, yeah, Zay Flowers, he had a great game up to a point. He got the stupid taunting call. And, yeah, people are arguing like, oh, it's soft. But you're throwing a ball in a guy's face, standing over him, getting his face. I mean, the refs are going to call that. It's just, you know the league. You know it's, yeah, the no fun league. Stupid decision. And then he fumbles into the end zone. So if he didn't get the taunting call, he would have been in the end zone. So that comes back to bite him. And it's crazy to me that kind of the two older teams, the Niners and the Chiefs, all these veterans, won the game. They didn't make a lot of mistakes. But then the Lions and the Ravens had two star rookies fumble the ball in these games. So just a little interesting tidbit, you know. As far as Lamar throwing, I know the narrative before, people were saying like, oh, you need to keep in the pocket, make him throw to beat him. And the Ravens pushed against it. A lot of Ravens people, Lamar fans in general, saying, no, he could throw the ball. He's a quarterback. He could throw it deep. Did you think they were pressing that too much that, oh, he's going to throw to win this game?
Yeah, I think offensive coordinator Todd Monken did have that in the back of his mind as far as a narrative. Like, we're going to try to prove them wrong today. Like, don't even worry about it. I got you. And that's just not where it should have been. It should have been, again, more establish the run. Let's pick them apart and let's just extend these drives, get them down the field, and keep our defense fresh. That's one thing that they have. Like, everyone was scared of Baltimore Ravens defense. But when you're going against Pat Mahomes and playing extended drives, you're just going to get tired. And for them to constantly go three and out, like, that doesn't help your defense whatsoever. We should be on the field just as long. We should be extending these plays and extending these drives and making sure that we can rest up and help them out. And they just didn't do that. They let their defense down this week.
Yeah, and the defense played solid. I mean, they were getting to Mahomes when they needed. Didn't give up a lot of huge plays. I know at the end of the game, they did give up that Valdez-Scandling catch to ice it, but it was kind of over, I felt like, at that point already. When Zay Flowers fumbled in the end zone, it was,
yeah,
you knew it was gonna be tough sledding to get back at that point. They just couldn't punch it in. That was kind of the story of the game. Mistakes here and there. I feel like it was really the star players of the Ravens that let them down in this game. They played great, but they also made mistakes, and that's kind of how the Chiefs won. They didn't make as much mistakes.
I mean, ultimately, like, I feel like the Baltimore Ravens beat themselves. They just didn't play the way that they've always played this entire season. the stupid penalties, which we've seen them rack up, the dumb like play recognition, Lamar Jackson throwing it into triple coverage in the end zone, didn't make any sense. Zay Flowers not having the awareness or not keeping the ball safe at the end zone. Just those are two critical mistakes right there. And they just lacked grit. Like they just really lacked that it factor or that like, hey, we want it more than you, which I mean, you're at home. This is Pat Mahomes. Like you should be having that, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Watching Lamar, I'd have to go back and watch more of the plays again, but I feel like Lamar was just passing up checkdowns constantly. Like the last couple drives, I saw him look to his right at Isaiah Likely sitting right there in the flat.
And just be like, no, I can do better.
Yeah, he looks him off and just looks deep. But then he ends up having to run for a few yards. I mean, multiple times in those last drives, if he just gets it out in his first read or to a checkdown, he has completions. But it felt like he was trying to play hairball, trying to do a little too much. And I know he's probably getting roasted about that triple coverage throw, the interception.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Likely did call for the ball on that.
But still, I mean, you see three guys standing there in front of him. Why take that risk? But who am I? I'm not an NFL quarterback, you know?
Yeah, I think that's all we got for this week right now. We're probably going to do another episode later this week. We're going to drop something next week too, previewing the Super Bowl. So a lot of exciting stuff. We got a lot of storylines to talk with this Chiefs 49ers team.
Hell yeah. Super pumped. Super Bowl, baby. We're going soupy.
We're ignoring the Pro Bowl, right?
I didn't even know. Yep.
The flag didn't football game. Yeah. Probably won't talk too much about that.
Be sure to hit that like button. Be sure to subscribe. Drop some comments below. We really appreciate it. 49ers winning that Super Bowl. Let's go, baby.
See ya.